Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Ayin Beis. Thank Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is one of the Zech Nishmas Lipa, Gabriel Bashmuel. We are coming off of a question that the Gemara asked on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Let's reset the question and let's get into the answer of the Gemara. Ibailu, the Gemara's asked question is, we're on the right in the middle of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. There's not much Gemara on this Amud. The question is, Gerish and Kishtika Damioka Kama Damia. Man divorces his wife. Is that going to be considered like he approved the neder, or is it just simply a non-commitment to the neder? So again, going over that which we already know, because this is what we've been dealing now with in this parak, is that the husband can have three possible reactions to a neder. Number one, he could be making the neder, he could approve the neder. Number two, he could be mefer, he could annul the neder. Number three, he could have no reaction whatsoever. And from the point that he hears it, he has a day in which to make a decision, and if by the end of the day he says nothing, so then that's a de facto confirmation of the neder. Good, so those are three different responses. Let's say his wife makes a neder, he hears the neder, and then he divorces her without saying anything. So how do we qualify that divorce? How do we understand that divorce? Is that divorce basically him saying, I'm really upset that you made the neder. Right, this is really not what I wanted. You know what? You made the neder. Good. Good. You keep that neder, and I'm gonna exit this marriage. So that's one possibility of understanding it, which basically means that gerushin is like a hakama, or no? That really what the gerushin is that the gerushin is just simply, look, I'm not really that interested in all this, but you're making nedarim. But I don't have a particular say on the neder, neither for or against it. In other words, but I'm just going to exit. In other words, and it could just simply be shtika, it could just simply be silence. And that the gerushin is not a de facto confirmation of the neder, just simply, in other words, he doesn't say anything. It's as if he didn't say anything. And the Gemara says, Lamai nafkamina, and then the Gemara asks the question, well, what difference does it make that they're not married anymore? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the nafkamina. Nafkamina would be, let's say he marries her later that day. Okay, after having given her the divorce, he thinks about it a little bit more, and he realized a little bit impetuous, a little bit rash in my response, and so he marries her again. And so now, if the divorce was considered a hakama, that's it, the neder is now in force. But if the divorce was just shtika, it was just silence, so then he would be able to be made for the neder. So Iyamar, and the Gemara spells this out, Iyamar mar kishtika dami amatzi made for love, Iyamar mar kakama dami lo amatzi made for love. Good. That's the Gemara's question. How do we look at divorce? Now the Ron points out over here, we went over this Ron yesterday, but it's important because it really frames the whole question. This is really an extraordinarily limited question, writes the Ron on the bottom of the Amud. The high bala, you see the last run on the Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, we did this yesterday, let's review it again. High bala dekamir aruz davka. This question is not as broad. I mean, first of all, it's not a broad question to begin with. We're talking about a woman who made a neder and the husband divorces her in response to that neder. Okay, already it's not a, we're not talking about halacha that impacts us on a daily basis. But the Ron says, but I'll be even more honest with you. It's even more limited than that. So the Ron says, Hai bala dekami aruz davkahu. So the Ron points out that really we're talking about, this is only relevant to the aruz. A man who betroths a woman. Because look, if we're talking about bona fide marriage, bona fide, I mean, first and second stage of marriage, so then at this juncture, it doesn't matter. Because look, we know the halacha is that when a man marries a woman, and they enter into the second stage of marriage. So yes, it's true, the husband can be made for Nadarim, but not pre-Nadarim, not Nadarim that existed before the marriage. So if they went through Nisuin, so then the husband can't be made for a neder that she made previously. Now, albeit, admittedly, the previously made neder was during their previous marriage. That's all well and good. Bottom line, after Nisuin, the husband's ability to be made for neder is only from Nisuin and onward, and nothing for, and no history, and no neder that she made historically can be annulled by the husband. And the Ron says, and look, let's say that it was Nisuin on the other end, meaning that previously they were married, fully married. And then she made a neder, and then they got a divorce, and then they went through Erusin. The Ron says, there's still nothing to talk about. Why? Because husband, an arus can only be made for a neder only in partnership with his father-in-law, but only if the father-in-law still has jurisdiction over her. If in the first time they were married, they were fully married, erusin and nisuin, so that nisuin severed her ties to her father, she's no longer connected to her father, and so therefore when they go through the second marriage, so, and even if the second marriage is only at the stage of erusin, the husband is by himself, he does not have a partner, there's no, the father doesn't have jurisdiction, and so therefore he can't do afara at this point in time. So the Ran says that really this question of the Gemara, which is, it's a great question, but its application is extraordinarily limited. We're only talking about where he was married to her only at the stage of erusin. She made a neder. He hears it. He divorces her, and then he takes her back in erusin. And now the Gemara's question is, well, how do we view the divorce? Was the divorce shtika? Was the divorce hakama? Because if it was hakama, that's it. He can't be made for the neder. If it was shtika, he could be made for the neder. But mind you, however, he can only be made for the neder in conjunction, in coordination with his father-in-law. So it's not it really is a very limited question in terms of the application of this principle of how do we look at divorce. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. We're now on the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, and we're going to quote a brisa that we've already quoted twice before. Third time we get to hear the brisa. Amosai Amru Meisabal Nisrok Nevershus Av. Remember, we had a concept where, if in the event that a husband, if she was married to a man, Erusin, and then he died, so then his voting block gets transferred back to his father-in-law. Okay, that's the Mishnah that we learned together, and the brisa over here comes and gives us examples of this idea. So Bizman Shaloshama Haba. So a number of examples says the brisa. So let's say the husband didn't hear the neder. Oh, Shama Vahafer, or the husband heard the neder and his response was, I'm made for the neder. Oh, Shama Vishasak. Or he hears about it and then he's quiet. Umes. Bo Bayom. And then he dies that very day. And so therefore, in all three of these circumstances, what happens? So all of his rights get transferred back to the father. The father now, who no longer, there's no longer a dual jurisdiction, because the husband in these cases now is no longer here with us. So the father now has the right to annul the vow. So the Gemara, at this point, after quoting the first half of this brisa, interjects with what seemingly is a great point. And that is, the brisa is giving us example after example. Why doesn't the brisa give the example of divorce? So, I amart gerishin kishtika dami lisnanami o shama v'girish. The brisa could have easily given an example of the husband heard about it and he divorces her, which means that there's no longer a husband. And now, let the brisa teach us that all that voting block gets transferred back up to the father. The brisa doesn't give that example. Do you know why the brisa doesn't give that example? So the Gemara now goes on to speculate. Oh, I'll tell you why. Because gerishin is de facto hakama. It is now basically his validation of the neder. And once the husband validates the neder, so then the father, of course, no longer has the ability to annul the vow. Because as we learned, once either partner, either senior or junior partner, of the Nara Murasa, if either one of them is Mekayim the Neder, so then there's no longer an option of Afara. So the Gemara is assuming now, oh, so now I get it. By him being Megarisher, that Gerishin is tantamount to Kiyum. Good. Ema say for the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Good analysis, good speculation. But let's go down to the second half of the Braisa. Aval. In the second half of the brisa, now we're going to give the contrasting scenarios. Im shama v'kiyim. Let's say the husband hears the neder and he's mekayim the neder. O shama v'shasak umeis baba yom shalacharav. Or let's say he hears the neder and allows a day to pass. En yachal hafer. And then in any one of these circumstances, then the husband no longer is here. So then the father does not get the rights now to annul the neder. Because essentially, in these cases, the husband validated the neder. And so the Gemara now asks, oh, we're looking for cases of the husband validating the neder. Why didn't the Brisa write the following scenario? Iyamar Girish and Kakamadami listening. The Im Shama V'Girish. Gemara now just wonders out loud, if we're looking for examples of validation, well, and if, a simple example would have been that the husband hears about his wife's neder and he divorces her. That would have been a great example of validation had that been true. So the Gemara says, you know why the Gemara didn't give that as an example? I'll tell you why. Because divorce is considered like a shtika. It's not validation. It's a non-response. So what happened? We had a brisa. We quoted the first half of the brisa. Sounded like from the first half of the brisa that gerushin is considered hakama. Then we quoted the second half of the brisa. Second half of the brisa sounds like gerushin, that divorce is considered like silence. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, so we could speculate from the first half, we could speculate from the second half. It arrives us at two different conclusions. So the Gemara says, stalemate. Meaning, we can't gain anything from this brisa to our question of how to view gerushin. Tashma. Gemara says, let's try this again. Nadra vihi arusa. She makes a neder. She's in erusin. She's in the first stage of marriage. Vinis garsha. And then she gets a divorce. Vinis arsa. And then, back to erusin. Bobayom. Afila mea. And by the way, not even with this guy. It could be with another guy. It could be with, and this could repeat itself 100 times. Okay, still, I can't get enough of this idea that 100 times she's going to get married that day. But, okay. Again, the Mishnah is just making a point. So, the Mishnah, this should sound familiar. This was yesterday's Mishnah. The Mishnah says it doesn't matter. Everyone really fills in the role of the previous arus, and so whoever the arus is now, together in conjunction with the father, is going to be able to be made for the neder. So Shema Mina Gershon Kishtika Dami. So the Gemara says, okay, isn't that Mishnah screaming out the idea that despite the fact that she got a divorce, that divorce is not considered Akama? Because had that divorce been considered Akama, so then the next Arus would not be able to be made for the neder. That seems to be a fantastic point. Dika Akama Dami Mimatsi Mefer Arus Acharon Nidre De Ukim Arus Rishon. Gemara just simply articulates. It has to be that the way we're going to view divorce is shtika, silence. It cannot be hakama. Otherwise, how could the second, third, fourth, or even 100th arus be made for a neder that was kvar hukam, that was already confirmed by a previous arus? So the Gemara says, hachem b'maiskin b'shalosh shama arus rishon. So the Gemara suggests that maybe our Mishnah is dealing with a scenario that the arus never heard about the neder. So, really? The Arus never heard about the neder. Well, if that's true, why is the Mishnah say they're on the clock? The only way you can be on the clock is if somebody heard. And right now, the Gemara thinks, well, if the Arus didn't hear, the father didn't hear as well. So right now, the Gemara is thinking, well, no one heard the neder. Well, if no one heard the neder, we're not on the clock yet. You have today, you have tomorrow, right? Afilo me'ayamim, even 100 days. Right, Gemara just using, it's obvious, the Gemara likes using the word 100 just to simply say, you know, right, yeah, you have all the time. Just one second, let me just finish the thread. So I feel Nami. So Kishalo Shama Arush V'Shama Av. So the Gemara says, well, you missed our point, meaning it wasn't that nobody heard. You're right, of course you're right. If nobody heard, so then we're not on the clock. What the scenario that our Mishnah is dealing with is where dad heard, but the husband, her husband, did not hear. Once one of the two partners hear, now you're on the clock. Now,
the clock runs for both simultaneously?
Yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh. Correct. You can't have two clocks. We're talking about her neder. So now the Gemara says dad heard. Well, dad heard, now she's on the clock. So now she's on the clock. So you got to find the husband. Husband divorces her. So, but in other words, but the Gemara is suggesting now that maybe the Mishnah is dealing with a scenario where the husband divorced her but never really heard about the neder. We're only entertaining the question of how to view divorce as a response to having heard that she made a neder. There's no way, this is what the Gemara is assuming right now, there's no way that if he happens to divorce her while she made a neder, but he didn't know about it, there's no way that could be viewed as akama. That can't be a confirmation. The idea over here is that divorce, the only way the Gemara is suggesting that divorce can be viewed as a confirmation is only as the response of, oh no, she made a neder, okay, and then he divorces her. Then and only then are we even suggesting that it's considered a kama, but not in the circumstance where it just happens to be he divorced her. So the, and I'm sorry, let me just finish reading the Gemara. De babayomu de mati mefer avami kanve elach lamati mefer. Okay, good. So that the Gemara says is a scenario of the Mishnah, which by the way, meaning all's well and good, but then we kind of lost a great learning opportunity from the Mishnah. Meaning, if this Ukimta is true, which the Gemara is not asserting that this has to be the Ukimta of the Mishnah. The Gemara is just deflecting the proof. But if this is correct, so then the Mishnah is not giving us the full Chiddush. Meaning the biggest chiddush would be that if, even though he divorced her, even as a response to the neder, still the next husband and the next husband down the road could still be made for the neder, and now the Gemara is kind of taking that away, kind of takes away the bite of the Mishnah, so to say, the chiddush of the Mishnah. Okay, Tashma, let's do this one more time. Nadra babayam, girsha ve'echzira babayam. Okay, so here we have now a Mishnah? Okay, maybe. So I didn't look ahead. So it's either a Mishnah or a Braisa. So she makes a neder on that day. She made the neder. He divorced her. He took her back. Ein yachol lahafir. He cannot annul the vow. So shma mina gerushin ka kama dami. So the Gemara says that, what do you see from here? That gerushin is considered like a kama. It's considered like he sustained the neder. Amre, so to which now they said no. That Mishnah that's coming up later on, you misunderstood it. Hacha bin Nisua Askinan. You assume that Mishnah was talking about Irisin. Because remember, like the Ron said at the beginning of this whole discussion, this is a very limited discussion. This can only work with Erisin. This cannot work with Nisuan for the reasons that the Ron explained earlier. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah that we just quoted is not talking about Erisin. It's talking about Hacha b'Nisua Askinan. We're talking about Nisuan. And again, the Ron articulates over here the same point that he articulated at the beginning of the sugya. Let's go through the Ron again. Let's see this again. Amri Hacha ben Nisua Askinan. I'm in the Ron. I'm right alongside where we are in the Gemara. So the Ron writes, Olam Emelecha Degershin Kishigadamya. Really, we're going to make the argument that divorce is considered not a commitment. Not in favor of the neder, certainly not against the neder. Right, it's just shtika, it's nothing. It just happens to be that we're talking about nisuin. And here, when we say nisuin, it doesn't matter if nisuin was a description of the first time they were married, or nisuin is a description of the second time they're married. Either way, he loses his opportunity to be made for the neder. Because it's a basic rule, and that is that a husband cannot be made for pre-existing nedarim. Hilkach, I arusa b'tchila v'nesua b'sof. So the Ron just simply goes through the permutations. Let's say the first time they were married, it was erusin. Okay? And then he marries her a second time, but both stages, erusin and nesuin. So lo mati mefer dena ba'al mefer b'kodmim. So now that they're fully married, so there's nothing to talk about. He can't be made for the previous neder because it was the previous neder. And the Ron says, and let's flip it. Let's say the first time they were married, fully married, Erisin and Nisuin. And then the second marriage, right now at this stage, where they only went up to Erisin. Still, the husband has lost his right to be made for the neder. Why? He namilo mati mefer. Because in that first time they were married, they went through stage one and stage two of marriage. What happens at stage two of marriage? This girl now no longer is connected to her father. She's totally detached and disassociated from the father. So now she's an independent. Once she's an independent, so now the second time they're married, they only went through the stage of Erisin. A husband as an Arus can only be made for his wife's neder, only in coordination, only in conjunction with his father-in-law. In this case, there is no father-in-law. Meaning biologically, there's a father-in-law. Anatomically, there's a father-in-law. But halachically, there is no father-in-law. Because the first time they were married, they went through Erisin and Nisuin. That detaches her from her father. So either way, writes the Ran, Nisuin on the front end, Nisuin on the back end. Either way, he can't be made for the neder. So the Gemara says that's what the Bryce is talking about. Back to the Gemara, Shema Minah Gershin Ka Kamadami. I'm a Hacham and Nisuin Nisua Skin Vayin Atayim Din Yochel Afer Mishum De Einabal Made for Bekodmim. Gemara says good. The Mishnah is talking about Nisuin and therefore does not address our question. So let's re-ask the question and let's come up to some sort of conclusion. Although there's no more Gemara, meaning we're done with the Gemara. So the question the Gemara asked is that if a man hears his wife made a neder, gives her a divorce, and then takes her back, so how did we view the divorce? Your two options are that divorce represents confirmation of the neder, and that's why he's divorcing her. Or no, divorce just simply means I don't want any part of it, but he's not taking a stake in whether or not I'm confirming or canceling the neder. He's just simply exiting the marriage, and that means a shtika, and that means that if he remarries or later that day, so he could be made for the neder. But again, remember, the whole question only is talking about where the only stage of marriage they went through was Eristin. So now that the husband, the second time he marries her, can be made for her neder, together in conjunction with her father. The Gemara asked the question. The Gemara seeked proof from a number of Mishnayos and a number of Braisos, and the Gemara came up with an inconclusive conclusion. And what does that mean as far as Allah is concerned? So the Ran says, as far as Allah is concerned, so I'll cite you two opinions. The Ran says, first I'll quote you the Ramban. The Ramban says, the Gemara asks the question, Gemara doesn't answer the question, we're talking about a suffix on an Isser D'Oraisa, meaning she made a neder, we're asking the question, is the neder sustained or not? So we're going to go L'chumra. The Ramban says, the Gemara doesn't respond to the question, therefore we're going to be Machmer. The Ran, however, then quotes the Rashba. And the Rashba says, I don't know. I don't know about this Ramban. I'm going to respectfully disagree. And based on where the Gemara started its whole discussion, the Gemara started the discussion with a statement of Shmuel. Shmuel says, "V'mayosi yeh." Shmuel said that I have a tradition from my Rebbe that even though a woman is married multiple times, every single time she gets married, the next husband, again limited because only by Erisin, the next husband can be made for the neder. So the Rashba says it's clear from Shmuel, the second, third, fourth, 100th husband all have the ability to be made for the neder, regardless of how the previous marriage terminated, either through death or divorce. Good. That was a statement made by Shmuel. So then the Ran says, now that's interesting. If the Rashba's right, so then what has the Gemara been doing now for the last Amud of Gemara? And so, very interesting. The Ran says, I'll tell you what the Gemara is doing. Meaning Shmuel is clearly of the opinion that that divorce is considered like shtika. It's not considered like kiyum. Shmuel's an Amora. What we always like doing, this is the Ran talking, this is not me, I'm just saying over the Ran. What we always like doing is that we like to bring proofs to the positions of Amoraim based on either a Mishnah or either on a Braisa. Meaning an Amora can say it, and that's great, but what the Gemara always seeks to do is, can we definitively show this position through a Mishnah or through a Braisa? And that's what the Gemara has been doing for the last Amud. Gemara wanted to see whether or not this can conclusively be said, not only from Shmuel, which in of itself is obviously something, but can it also be proven out from a Mishnah? The Ran says, remember we had a question that we asked earlier in the Masechta, when the Kohanim do the Avodah, are they representative of us, or are they representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right? The Gemara spoke it out, and then the Gemara spent... All right, I don't remember the length of Gemara, but a good amount of Gemara discussing this question. The Ran says, you know, we knew the answer to that question. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us that they're not our shliach, they're shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We knew the answer. The Ran says, what was the Gemara doing? Same thing, same avoda, same effort. Effort is put in to see whether or not we could prove it from a Mishnah or from a Braisa. Okay. Ad kan divrei Ran. The Ran therefore says that divorce is not considered like a kiyum of a neder. It's considered like shtika. Huh? Correct. Again, it's a very limited question. The question of the Gemara is only going to work if The second time she gets married is within the 24 hours. You're right. It's a. It doesn't have. This question does not have a.
That's another.
It is not. Yeah.
Correct.
It's a right. It really has very limited. It has very limited application. Okay. Derech Tamidei Chachamim, we're 9 Beis Amud Beis. We're starting now the next Mishnah. The means, the ways of Tamidei Chachamim. Ashalo Haisa Bito Yotzas Meitzlo. The daughter's leaving them, right? Going to get off married and marry somebody. So obviously, you know, it's a very emotional moment. But the Tamidei Chachamim, right? Okay, cut through the emotion and get right to the halacha, and that is that this is going to be my last opportunity to annul her nadarim. So you know what? Let's not waste these opportunities. So Derech Tamidei Chachamim, Ashlo Haisa Bito Yotzei Meitzlo, before the daughter would leave them, Omer La called nadarim shenadarta besoch beisi, any neder that you made in my house, harehein mufarin, they're going to be annulled. I'm going to. It's going to be my last order of right. It's going to be inviting them, right? You know, president's pardon before they leave office. So this is his.
Is it like when a Nara here, not a Bulgarian, right?
Right. Once she's a Bulgarian, that's it. She leaves the jurisdiction of the father. Correct. So
these are the ones that he's not aware of.
Huh?
These are the nedarim that you would never be aware of.
These are the nedarim. Well, we'll get to hold on. We're going to get to that. That's going to be the discussion. So as his. I guess presidential pardon. So I know it's funny, but that's basically what we're talking about. So as his last act of being the father of this woman, so he says, I'm going to be made for your nedarim, and the Gemara says, in good. That's a good thing. Derech Tamidei Chachamim. Obviously, the Mishnah is approving such an act. Now, the obvious question, which we're going to be discussing for the balance of today, is going to be, did he hear it or did he not hear the neder? And is it possible that he could be made for a neder that he didn't even hear? Stay tuned as the Gemara is going to explore that very question. V'chein ha-ba'al, ad shelo titkanes ha-reshuso. And the same thing is true regarding a husband before a woman enters into his reshus. Omer la, kol nadarim shenadarta ad shelo titkanes ha-reshuso harein mufarin. Shemeshi titkanes ha-reshuso yenei ochala hafer. Look, here's the story. The story is that once we're fully married, I cannot provide for you an annulment of your previous nedarim. So before you come in here, and before you we go into the second stage of marriage, let's now be made for any pre-existing nedarim. Okay. But again, the clock only starts when somebody hears about it.
I think that both the father and the groom have to hear the same day, same 24-hour window to make the same declaration.
Once one of them hears it, then the clock starts.
Right.
So the
groom cannot say both.
Yes. Again, that's what it seems like. That's certainly the way it's been being presented. Over.
Did this mission is only for
Nara?
No, for somebody who's under age 12.5.
Yeah. Correct. Correct.
But the father could actually make a carte blanche declaration.
Well, that's going to be our discussion. That's where we're going with all this. By Rami Bar Chama, the Gemara, Rami Bar Chama asked the following question: Ba Ma Ushiyafer Below Shmiya, and we ask a really simple question, a question that really we could have asked at the beginning of the parak, but it happens to be that now is a perfect time to ask this question because our Mishnah seems to be addressing the answer to this question. We know that the Torah gives the right for a husband and a father to annul his wife or daughter's neder. Okay. Does that mean that he has to hear the neder? Or can his ability to annul even bypass the need to hear it? Meaning she made a neder, father or husband didn't actually hear the neder, but nevertheless, Torah grants them the ability to be made for the neder, and maybe that power of a father would work even without having heard it. So, and the Gemara's question, the Gemara spells out the question. So, Baal Ma'u Shi'afer B'lo Shmi'a, V'shama Isha Dafka Hu, Olav Dafka. Now, I know the Torah describes it as a husband heard, but maybe the Torah is speaking specifically, which means that this is a criteria, this is a prerequisite to Hafara, is that you have to hear, or maybe not. Maybe the Torah is just describing what usually happens. What usually happens is you hear the neder, but maybe no. Maybe the power of Afara could work even without actually having heard the neder. So Amar Rava, Tashmasa, Rava says, well, I think I know the answer based on the Mishnah that we just learned together. So, because look what happened in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, right, she's about to leave the house. Father is about to marry off his daughter. And he says, you know, or by the way, it could also be that she's going to become a Bulgaris. I mean, that's another scenario we could paint as well. So, and the, and so he says, you know, if in the event you made any neder that I don't know about, so I'm going to be made for the neder now. Okay, good. And it certainly sounds like from the Mishnah that hearing the neder is not necessarily a prerequisite in order for the father or the husband to be made for the neder. Well, right now, well, let's focus on the father, because that's the part of the Mishnah that we're quoting. V'halo shama. So the and this is the point which seems to be pretty accurate from the Mishnah. The father didn't hear the neder, and yet he has the power to be made for the neder. So the Gemara says, L'chi shama hu demefer. The Gemara says, well, maybe the Mishnah is describing that this pardon, if you will, this last annulment of the father is only upon actually hearing the neder. So the Gemara says, "Im kinki lo shama lama le lamemer." So the Gemara says, well, that's a little bit strange. So in other words, you're telling me that the only way that the father can be made for the neder is if he heard. So then what's going on in our Mishnah? Meaning, look at what's happening in our Mishnah. He says, any neder you made, which obviously I don't know about, I'm going to be Mayfair. Well, what's going? If the father needs to hear the neder, what was the point of that statement? So the Gemara says, "Hakamash Malan or Chedetzor Ben Mirabanan La Dure." So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you what. What the Mishnah is describing over here is not the actual hafara, but the investigation. Meaning, the father brings his daughter into his office and says, okay." I'm right as right. The last time we now are speaking as just father and daughter, and the last time I have the ability to be made for the nedarim. So now is a good time to tell me. Did you make any nedarim? Our mission over here is just talking about the process of investigation. It's not talking about the actual hafara, because without hearing, you can't make a hafara. That's what our Mishnah is describing. Tashma Misefa. The Gemara says, okay, let's go on. Next line of the Mishnah.
So the father is asking the daughter to list all the nedarim that she's made, and then it goes away.
Yes. That's right.
Within 24 hours.
Again, the 24 hours only starts when upon hearing.
After he becomes aware of them.
After his awareness of them. That's the only time it starts. In other words, she made the neder, let's say, I was going to say a long time ago. It can't be a long time ago, because her nedarim only have validity after she turns age 11. So she can have it at best a year and a half now of nedarim under her belt. Okay, it's fine. V'chein abal ad shelo tikanas l'reshuso. Amar la, and then the Mishnah says, and the same thing regarding the husband. So hachinami da amar la l'chi shamana. And the Gemara says, once again, same basic answer. Only upon hearing am I going to be mefer. Tashma. Ha'amar l'ishto kol nedarim shetidori ad she'avo mimakom ploni harehin kayamim lo amar klam. Let's say the husband says as follows: I'm going to go on a business trip, and let's set the ground rules. And that is, if while I'm away, you make a neder, you know what? I'm telling you right now, I'm putting in a pre-order that I'm going to be mekayim any of your nedarim that you make in the future. So lo amar klum. So aside from the fact that why would he say that? Okay, aside from that, but the Mishnah over here says that's nothing. In other words, you can't put in you can't pre-vote and say that I'm going to sustain your neder. Okay. Harehein mufarin. However, let's go the other way. Let's say, again, he's going away, and he says, look, I'm putting in just one line of editorial. I'd prefer you to make any neder to begin with. But, okay, good. Close parentheses. If you're going to make a neder, so I'm going to be made for the neder, even though we're talking about a future event. So, Rabbi Elazar Omer Mufar. So, Rabbi Elazar says the neder now is going to be annulled, even though he states so in advance in anticipation of her making a neder. Just one second. The halo shama. So the Gemara says, okay, that's all well and good. But at this juncture, at this point in time, she hasn't made a neder yet. And let's say while he's away, she makes a neder. So even if he puts in his, you know, he puts in his order early, he pre-orders, and he says, I'm going to be made for the neder when all said and done, he hasn't heard the neder yet. So what are we talking about? So the Gemara's answer to that is, Hachanami, sorry, I lost my spot. Hachanami, da'ama l'chi shaman, v'lama li, I'm sorry, v'halo shama, Hachanami, da'ama l'chi shaman. So the Gemara says, well, the Gemara says, what he meant was, is that upon my hearing about the neder, meaning, right now, there's nothing to talk about. She made a neder, he didn't hear about it, and again, the Gemara now is arguing that hearing the neder is the prerequisite to hafara. What he meant was is that if you make a neder, and I then hear about the neder, then I'm going to be made for the neder.
Regardless of what the neder is.
Regardless. He's exercising his right to be made for the neder. So the Gemara says, if anyway we're waiting for him to hear the neder, so what exactly was the point of making of lodging in his vote beforehand when anyway it's nothing's going to take effect, meaning his ability to annul the neder won't be enforced until he actually hears it. So really, what was accomplished over here? Wait till he comes back, wait till he actually hears about the neder, and then let him say, oh really? So okay, fine, I'm going to be made for the neder. So the Gemara says, Kasavar Delma Mitradina, Haishaita. So the Gemara says, you know what he's concerned about? He's concerned that he comes back from a long trip, right? A lot is on his mind, and in other words, he'll hear the neder, and he'll be too busy to respond, and so what he's thinking is that now, at least while I am calm and organized in thought, so now I'm gonna put in a vote for Alfara, even though I haven't heard the neder yet. And then when I come back and later on when I hear the neder, so then I'm gonna apply that hafara to the neder that I heard.
You should assume that as soon as I hear it, it's gonna be
right, correct.
How come this doesn't fall in the category of something that's not existing?
Davar shelo bal olam. Yeah, but
like the fruits, I want to buy the fruits.
I know, but that yet, right. That first of all, I think the question's good. Davar shelo bal olam is generally by kinyanim. It's by acquisition. We're not talking about an acquisition over here. We're talking about the world of Issa v'Heter. It's a, you know, it's the Torah empowers the father to annul the neder. It's not. There's no acquiring over here. It's Issa v'Heter. Maybe that's part of the answer. I'm just thinking out loud. It's a good question. Yeah, Danny.
We learned previously the second Arus can be made for a neder. He didn't even hear.
No, but the second Arus, right. But the second Arus,
the junior partner, for sure the father-in-law can do it.
Right, but the Arus is going to, the assumption there is that, I guess, the assumption over there is that he's going to be made for the neder when notified about the neder. Meaning, one of the partners has heard about the neder. Good. Now we have a day left to be made for the neder. So now you're going to need coordination. Now you're going to need both father and husband to get together and say, here's what happened, here's what she said, and good. Now together as a joint effort, we're going to have to be made for the neder. So one of them is going to hear it just so that the clock, then they're now on the clock. But once one of them heard it, then they're going to have to coordinate. Okay.
What if the father makes the declaration, right? And he doesn't hear, but the groom hears it. Does it mean that his nullification goes into effect?
I don't know. A fair question. I simply don't know the answer.
Can the father just make the neder when she's 11 years old? That anything she says, does he have to go away or anything?
Well, what the Gemara is arguing now is that his afara is ineffective if he hasn't heard about the neder. In other words, she has to make the neder, and the Torah describes that his afara can only, his execution of afara can only be done only when he hears about it. So that's what the Gemara right now is currently arguing.
Is the shaliach okay in this case?
Is what? Is
the shaliach?
Oh well, wait. That's great that you asked that question. So the Tashma Ha'omer la'apitrapos kol nedarim shenedaros yishti mikan v'asha ava mima kamponi hafer. So now the husband goes away, and he appoints somebody to take care of his house, take care of his wife, an apotropos, a custodian, a trustee. And he says to him, look, I'm giving you full power of attorney. You have, you have rights to go into my bank account, take out money, and basically take care of everybody. And oh, by the way, I'm also giving you, right, I'm deputizing you, you now have the power of hafara, right? I'm giving you as your as my agent, as my power of attorney, you now could be made for my nedarim. The hafer law, and it happens to be that while the husband was away, the wife made a neder, and the apotropos said, okay, I've been deputized. And with his power of attorney, he goes ahead and now he says, okay, I'm going to now annul it. So the question on the table is a really simple one. Does that work? So Yachli Yehu Mufarim Tamalamar Yishayi Kimenev Yishayi Farin Adiv Rabbi Yoshia. This is a Machlokis Tanayim. So Rabbi Yoshia says it does not work. But why does it not work? Because the Torah is exceedingly clear. Isha, by the way, Isha, the hay's with a mapik, with a dagation side, mapik hay, which means her husband. Isha is a contraction of two words. It's Ishala. Isha Yifirena. Only her husband can be made for the neder, meaning what's the Torah driving at? To the exclusion of an agent. A shlich cannot. That's the opinion of Rav Yoshia. Amar la Rabbi Yonasan, matzina b'chol Torah kula, shulcha shaladim kamoso. And to which Rabbi Yonasan responds, and Rabbi Yonasan says, what do you mean? The shliach is the husband. Don't we have a concept in halacha known as shluchu shaladim kamoso? When you appoint somebody and you give somebody agency and you give him power of attorney, so he's you. He's your representation. So shluchu shaladim kamoso. And so therefore, therefore the apotropos has the power to be mefer. Now, just give me 1 second. The afil Rav Yoshia lo kamer lemishim dikzer sakasavu. Now, even Rav Yoshia, by the way, he likes that idea. Meaning his only objection over here is the fact that the Torah went out of its way to say that a shliach won't work. Meaning, in theory, shlichus works. It just happens to be that the Torah over here gives us gzeiras hakasav. It tells us that this is an exception to the general rule. To which now the Gemara says, "V'afil Rabbi Yoshua l'kamer elam mishum dekzeiras hakasavu isha yikemenu v'isha yifernu aval dekul le'ama shulchu shaladim kamoso." So the Gemara says, "But you know, shlichus, meaning it does not, that word uttered by itself is not a great argument. But I'll do it again." Shlichus, it's agency, and meanwhile, v'halo shamalei. So the Gemara says now, according to Rabbi Yonasan, the apotropos can be made for the neder. According to Rabbi Yoshia, in theory it works, but again, gzeiras hakasav. But in theory it would work. Why are we even having a theoretical? According to Rabbi Yonasan, we're having a real discussion. According to Rabbi Yoshia, we're having a theoretical discussion. The Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. Why are we even discussing? The husband's away. The husband didn't hear about the neder. So why are we even having a discussion? So what the Gemara now would like to argue is that how can the shliach be made for the neder if the husband didn't hear about it? It must be that the husband doesn't have to hear about it. It's not a necessary prerequisite to trigger the ability to be made for the neder.
Why can't the shliach hear on behalf of the husband?
Stay tuned. That's the right question. Stay tuned. The Gemara doesn't ask that question, but it happens to be the Ron does. So v'halo shmi'alei. Stay, wait. Hachanami da'amarlei l'chisha mana meferla. So the Gemara says, we're now on the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, so l'chisha mana meferla. The Gemara says that when the husband does hear about it, then the shliach can be made for the neder. L'chisha mana meferla, who? So the Gemara says, well, if we're going to have to wait anyway for the husband to hear about it, so then why do you need an agent? Why not just simply say, okay, husband hears about it, he'll be made for the neder. So once again, Savar Dilma Mitradina. So the Gemara says, well, perhaps the concern is going to be that the husband was just too busy at the time, heard it, but didn't have time or patience or just simply the mindset to go ahead and to be made for the neder. So therefore, that's why you have people working for you, and that's why he's the apotropos. So right now, two big issues for today, and Ben, tomorrow I'm going to start off discussing your question. Two big issues for today that we discussed. Number one, is divorce is construed as a kiyum, is divorce construed as a shtika? The Gemara spent the first half of today, all of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, addressing that question, looking at Mishnayos, looking at Brisos, trying to resolve the question. The Gemara came out inconclusive. The Ran at the end brought down a machlokus between the Ramban and the Rashba. Therefore, the Ramban says we should be machmir. The Rashba says no. No, we're not going to be machmir. A divorce is considered shtika. What was the Gemara doing? Just trying to find a proof from a Mishnah or from a Braisa. But it's not the Gemara was not trying to. The Gemara already knew the answer based on the statement of Shmuel. Next. The Talmid HaChachamim, before the daughters left the house, so they were made for the Nadarim. Even if they didn't hear about it, does that mean that you can be made for without hearing about it? And that's today's second big question of the day. Can you be made for a Neder without having heard the Neder? So from the Mishnah, the answer seems to be yes, but the Gemara right now is deflecting. And right now the Gemara is in the middle of this question of whether or not hearing the Neder is a necessary prerequisite in order to be made for the Neder. The last case we just explored is Shlichus, a fascinating machlokas Tanayim, whether or not a Shliach being deputized by the husband can be made for his wife's Nedarim. Rav Yonas and Rav Yoshi debate this very issue, and tomorrow we'll come back and we'll discuss more about this idea of Shlichus as it relates to Afar.